Mizmor, the Mizmor of Achitofel. Mizmor and Nunhei, it is on page. Page 480. Lamatzech b'neginas maskil, another Mizmor of wisdom, another experience of betrayal. Achitofel was a very close advisor and friend of David. He was, I guess you would say, his chief of staff. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyah Bedvaroi. He was his Rebbe, that's right. He was Alufi Umiyudoi. He learned from him two things. I think his mom is Rebbe Muvok. He learned from him a few things. And when Avshalom, when David had a falling out with Avshalom, Achitofel, he felt that the winner, the ultimate winner, would be Achitofel. So he joined the bandwagon. Okay, this is a very powerful concept which comes up many times in Navi, is when people, they get a sense who's going to win, they want to be on the winning team, and they abandon everyone else. They abandon everyone else as part of one team, but you want to be on the winning team, so you want to be. David has very harsh words for these type of people who betray their fellow chaverim, and they join who they feel will be the winner for their own personal gain. And therefore, if Avshalom will be the winner, that way Achitofel will, if he will now join the winning team, what he perceives to be the winning team, he will be rewarded by the winner with wealth, with honor, with prestige, with government funding, and all of these things. It's a terrible betrayal. And he went so far to give advice to make sure that Avshalom wins by giving David advice. He gave him two different things. Achitofel gave David advice. Gave Avshalom advice. What was the advice? Number one, that he should live with his father's Pilakshin, his wife's. That would show the world, because people were really doubting, really, would a son really kill his father? Would a son really rebel against his father? But if they would see that the son, Avshalom, would live with his father's wives, wow, that is a red line you don't cross. And by crossing that line, there is no return. And that would indicate the degree of rebellion, the degree of his seriousness that Avshalom was how far he was willing to go, and that would sway the population to the side of Avshalom to realize that he is going to be the winner. The other advice he gave was, he told...
That's very modern, I mean, it's connected to halacha, and
you
people,
bet.
People should spit on him when, if he does that.
Well, that's, you see, you learn this again and again. When people have an agenda, nothing stands in their way. Not halacha, not morals. They'll do it. Whatever you want to do, you'll do it. They'll find the head. You'll find these little loopholes. They'll come up with these convoluted heterim why it's mutter. This is something you learn again and again. When someone has an agenda, nothing stands in your way. Absolutely nothing. There is no law. There are no morals. There is no Ribbono Shel Olam. Nothing stands in your way. It's a very dangerous lesson that the world has. People have never failed to learn this lesson. Is that Avshalom wanted covered. He wanted the malchus. He wanted whatever.
I'm asking that the people, if they see that, why would
you promise them some money?
They would say that this guy's a nice boy.
Follow along. We'll give you money, cash. We'll give you millions of dollars.
He had
everything. Everything he had. We don't really know all the details, but it's not so hard to imagine what you see goes on in this world. There are people who, you know, money goes a very long way. If you're willing, people that are very desperate, they need money, and you promise someone a lot of money, all of a sudden everything is kashav yasha. I once saw firsthand a maisa where a person, it's just a shocking thing, where a person was holding up his wife for a get. Okay, there was an aguna, and this person refused to give his wife a get. He was a real Russia. Okay, pshuta kimashma. a rasha, he refused to give his wife a get. Okay, listen, no one knows the whole story, right? There's always another side to the story, whatever it is. Okay, this fellow went, and he went and he got married to another woman. How do you get married to another woman? You're not allowed to get this chayr ben gershim. You're not allowed to get married. You're not allowed to get married to two women. So what do you do? So you get a het to marry rabbanim. So he went and he paid an enormous amount of money for someone to arrange for him. He's a very wealthy person to arrange for him a het to marry rabbanim. I know this firsthand. And he went and it's an enormous amount of money and he paid someone and obviously the person who got him het to marry rabbanim. I don't know how he convinced the 100 rabbanim to sign. I don't know. Beats me. But he was able to do it. He probably kickbacks. So there was a Rav, and the Rav said, people said, what in the world is going on? There's a Davar Yodua, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, I believe he writes about this, and all the Gedolim, you only get a Heter Meir Rabbanim there's a Tanai. Tanai is you have to give a get. The only time the Heter Meir Rabbanim was established where a person, Rachmano Litzan, has a wife who is not Bedas, she is in an institution and she's in a coma, or she's not bedas, so she cannot accept the get, or the wife refuses to accept the get. The wife, she wants to hold him up, so she refuses to accept the get, or Rachmana Litzlan, a woman is very, very sick.
So what do they do with the get?
So you give to Bezdin. So the husband writes a get, they go to Bezdin, he writes a get, and they gives the get to Bezdin. So now, when the woman will one day wake up and say, you know, okay, it's time to move on, she'll go to Bez and get her get. Or if the woman, Rahman Muslim, is very, very sick, if she will come back to consciousness, so she has the get right there. Then, after a person writes a get, then there is such a thing where he can get a het to the Meir Rabbanim. So this fellow, he went, and his wife is healthy and fine, and his wife is begging for a get. And he wants to torture her. Again, no one can judge. No one knows the other side of the story. But he did not give her a get. He held her up. And he got arranged a heter meir rabban. So some people, they went and they made a protest. What in the world is going on here? How do you allow this fellow to remarry, to be a mesader kiddushin at his wedding, and allow him to remarry with a heter meir rabbanim when he never gave a get? What in the world is going on? This has never been done before. This is not tradition. The heter meir rabbanim is a long-standing tradition, okay? The heter meir rabbanim is done. But there's a condition. You have to first give a get. You can't abuse the heter meir rabbanim. At the end of the day, you know what the answer was? Money. The person was a very kesef yad. The person was a very, very wealthy person. He supported a lot of people, and no one's going to fight with him. And the people who were not the beneficiaries of his wealth, they couldn't believe what was going on. And when they approached the people, they're like, I'm talking about mainstream people, like, what's going? Yeah, you know, b'di'eved, you can have to be rabbanim even if you don't give a get, and you have to know the other side of the story. There's another side of the story. Azoy and azoy. Halacha, tradition. Answer is, when there's an agenda, halacha here, halacha there, azoy and azoy, it doesn't make a difference. That's the way the world goes. It's a terrible, terrible chil Hashem. You know, so with the Rebbe, the chassidim arguing, whose Rebbe is greater? So my Rebbe, he is so great, he can do Kriyas Yamsuf. We were once walking and we came to a Yam with Shabbos, and there was a Yam, he wanted to go to the other side. So he went like Azoy and Azoy, and the Yam split and he crossed through. Another was my Rebbe was so great, he brought Mon min HaShemayim. He was no fool, so he looked up to Shemayim and Mon came down min HaShemayim. And my Rebbe was so great, he hit on a stone and Mayim came out of the stone. And the other chassid said, my Rebbe is greater than all of you Rebbes put together. My Rebbe was walking down the street and he saw on the floor on Shabbos Kodesh a $100 bill lying on the floor. Shabbos Ahin. Shabbos Aher. And he took the $100 bill into his pocket. Okay, so my Rebbe, he's greater. He had the koyach to be doich Shabbos, right? Rachman al-Litzlan, when he has an agenda, that's the answer to your question. You're right. How in the world was Avshalom allowed to get away with living with his father's wives? Are you talking such a thing? So you'll find in the world of halacha, you'll find all these terutzim. We had this little boy over here. I don't want to poison this little boy's mind over here. What's your name? No, Adarava. Just don't take anything we say seriously here. Where are you from? Portland, Oregon. Wow. So who are you staying by? How did you come here? How did you fall into the...
He flew. Hurtenfeld.
Oh, what's your father's name? What's your name? Yeah, your last name. What? It's your last name. What?
Weissman.
Could be I know your father. Could be your father once helped me. Once you live in Portland. I think I know his father. I think you know who your father, your parents are. I know your mother. I think you did your Hurtenfeld's grandson. I think your father. Yes, your father. He once taught me. He helped me in Brooklyn College, computers. He helped me. He taught me. He taught me some very difficult programming skills. He was very kind to me, your father. I'm pretty sure I know your father is. Small world. Okay, so here we go over here, Lamed says, so different, this is the lesson, the Musa Haskel of this Mizmor Nunhei. It's we have a story, we have Avshalom. Avshalom was David HaMelech's son. Avshalom wanted to be king. And he wanted, the way he was going to be king was by, Bechazal said, Avshalom was a ben soyer umoyre. David HaMelech, his wife, he saw his mother in battle, and he took her, and he followed, she was a non-Jewish woman, in battle, he took her, and he followed all of the halachas that it says in Parashas Kiseitze. Kiseitze la milchama levecha v'ri'itza, v'ri'itza bashivya, eishes yifas toyar. You have a desire for her, and you take her to your home, and you tie her down to the doorpost, and you shave off her head, and you remove her beautiful clothing, and you're menavel her for 7 days, and for 30 days she mourns for her parents, and then if at the end of 30 days you still want to marry her, you can marry her. But the next parasha goes on to say, if you'll have a child, Haya Ben Soyer Umoirash in Nenu Shomea Bekolenu Zalil Visoyvei, so Chazal say, you want to marry this woman? Fine, but you should watch out, because the consequence of marrying this woman may lead to a child who will be a Ben Soyer Umoirash. And Avshalom is an example. Avshalom was the product of an Eishes Yifas Toyar, a woman that David found in battle. He fulfilled all the halachis and married her, had a child with her, and the child was Avshalom. This child had a falling out with his father and wanted to take his father's life and usurp the throne. David had to run for his life, because this Avshalom was so charismatic, was so popular, he swayed the leadership of Klal Yisrael to follow after him. He was able to come up with these ideas that David is not royal amalchus, as you all can imagine, with charisma, with an agenda, and certainly money goes a very long way in being able to persuade people to do things that they never in their lifetime would ever imagine they're capable of doing. There are people out there, there are evil people out there that are very charismatic, they're very sophisticated, they're very powerful, and they know how to take advantage of the vulnerable society. It's nothing new. This goes on in the whole world. And it's only because of Siyata Deshmaya, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shomer Yishol, Shemosh, Eretz Yishol, that's the only reason why we are still here today. We always say that the force of evil, we live in a world of fantasy. When you're a child, today everything is woke. But it used to be when we grew up, they would show these cartoons, and the message was the koyach of good is more powerful than the koyach of ra, that is sheker. The koyach of evil in this world is much more powerful than the koyach of good. The only reason why we survive is because Hashem protects us. Shomer Yisrael Shemar She'eris Yisrael. And Avshalom was talented, and he was able to persuade all these vulnerable people.
He was a Nazir also.
He was a Nazir of Shalom. Beautiful, he was very charismatic, beautiful, and that was part of his charisma. And he was able to persuade, and now we're focusing on Achitofel. Achitofel was one of David's closest friends, his advisor, closest friends, and Achitofel was a shock to David, turned out to be a traitor. Achitofel, who David put trusted and spoke to all of his private, told him all of his secrets, and here Achitofel was just an opportunist. He just looking for his own selfish best interest. And when he saw that, he perceived that Avshalom would win the battle, would win the day, would one day be the Melech, and being that Achitofel was the best friend of David, that means that Achitofel will be out in the woods. He no pension, how is he going to live? How is he going to marry off his children? He's not going to have any covered. He's not going to get an aliyah. He's not going to have money. That's the main thing. So therefore, now is the time to abandon ship and join the winning horse. Put your bets on the winning horse and to betray David. David was hurt beyond belief. And that is the message. And what did Achitofel do? He went so far and he said to Avshalom, let me be your advisor and I'll tell you what to do. Number one, what you should do is you should live with your father's wives. And that will show the world how serious you are, and that will fortify your malchus. And then number two, they were chasing after David, and they got inside information where David was lodging. They found out exactly where he was, and he told Avshalom, chase after David, and you'll get him. And this was the advice he gave Avshalom. And then a miracle happened. There was someone else who told him, Erech, I forgot his name already. There was another
David
person.
What? David sent him as a spy to undermine.
And he saw David sent someone and he gave Avshalom different advice, not to chase after David.
Right.
And a miracle of miracle, Avshalom, he listened to did not take the advice of Achitofel, but he took the advice of the other person. We'll see his name in a second. And that was the miracle which allowed David to survive. So here we have, it's a very hard mizmar. The mizmar is unusually difficult. It's not from the easy mitzvah. It's long. It's not from the easy mizmar in Sefer Tehillim. It's a lot of hard stuff here. And we'll do the best that we can. So here we go. Lamitzech, Neginos, Maskil, David. When it says Neginos, it's similar to what it says in Mizmor Nundalid. Nundalid, and I saw in the art scroll, in the commentary, I don't remember who he says it from a Mefarish never heard of, I don't remember, maybe not. He says, when it says the word Neginos, this is a musical instrument that is used to bring a person out of depression. It's like taking some pills. Person goes to a psychiatrist, and they give him some uppers, some pills in order to lift him out of a deep depression. And David, when he says Beneginois, he's indicating that I am clinically depressed. What has triggered my depression? It is betrayal. Betrayal. When your best friend betrays you, then you're really in a very bad situation, and you need professional help. Beneginois means professional help. That's what it means. A special musical instrument that has the ability to draw a person out of a very deep depression. We're not familiar with this instrument, but it's an idea. And this was said by the people of the Zifim that were David's own family. They betrayed him to Shaul. And now we're dealing with another betrayal of Achitofel that betrayed Achitofel to Avshalom. They're similar. Mizmor Nun Dal and Mizmor Nun Hey are both similar in this respect, is that David has an enemy. Enemy number one in Mizmor Nun Dal was Shaul, and in Mizmor Nun Hey, enemy number one is Avshalom, his own son. Who is the subject of the Mizmor? Well, in Mizmor Nun Dal, the subject is the Zifim, his family, his own cousins, who betrayed him to Shaul. And in Mizmor Nun Hey, the one that betrayed him was Achitofel. Achitofel betrayed David when he took sides with his son Avshalom. So, Lamasech, when he gives me the Mizmasel, David has in the looking. Yeah.
Does that mean that
I don't know. The father of peace. Av Shalom, the father of peace. It's really a euphemism, the father of Muhammad. When a child rebels against, maybe that, when a child rebels against his father, that's, it could not be a greater an irony of peace. That's the worst thing in the world. How could a child rebel against his father, try to kill his father? It's not natural. It's totally not natural. So it's like the father of war. And not just Ketata, but the Av of Ketata. And Shalom is a euphemism. It's a euphemism. He's the Av of Shalom. There couldn't be a greater Av of Ketata, Av of Melchama, than when a child unnaturally tries to kill his father. Okay.
Were given later when they put it together. His original name was not
That's a topic. That's a big topic. Yes and no. Obviously, there is some truth to what you're saying, but I have to really, every case, obviously, I don't know. Okay, here he's saying, I don't know. You're saying that when Nach was put together later on by Shmuel, by the Nevi'im, and they wrote these stories, they used names that were not used in their lifetime, and we referred to them in their assessment of who these people were by ascribing to them a name that summarizes their life. So you would say that no one ever called him Avshalom when he was alive, but when the Nevi'im, or the later Nevi'im, they wrote up Sefer Shmuel, so they looked at this person. What was he? He was a very wicked person. He was the Av, the father of strife. So as a euphemism, they called him Av Shalom. Okay, maybe. I don't know. I don't know enough about this. I don't know. Because Baal is an Avodah Zarah. Correct. Okay, yeah. Okay, Nachanami. And Moshe. What was Moshe? How did they address Moshe? We don't know. It's a very big mystery. Yeah? So maybe he was. Mayor Appeldorf is saying, he's suggesting that possibly not, because there are other examples of people that we know that it was not their real name, and it says, and we refer to them in Nach by a different name, and we know the reason why, like Miffy Baal. Okay, this person, there was two of them. There were two people by the name of Miffy Boishas, and one of them was really called Miffy Baal. I don't know the etymology of the name, but Baal is the name of an idol, an Avodah Zarah. So we don't want to refer to Avodah Zarah, so he's changed to Boshes. It's Lavan Harami. What was his real name, Lavan Harami? White? I don't know. So we do know, he's asking a very good question. We do, what's your name again, your first name?
Yosef.
Sorry?
Yosef.
Are you sure?
Yosef. So there are examples that we know for
Yosef.
A fact. Savas Panech, right? We know there are people that we know for a fact it was not their real name. So Reb Meir Appeldorf, you've come to meet your match here. Reb Meir Appeldorf is suggesting that just like we know there are certain people, their names are definitely changed, this now creates a suspicion on everyone's name. Everyone in Tanakh, every member of the Ishei HaTanakh, now their name comes under scrutiny if that was their real name or it's a name that was ascribed to them by the who wrote the whether it was written Ruach HaKodesh, by Hashem wrote it, or the Nevi'im wrote it. If we would go back in history and we would be living with them in their time, how would they be referred to? Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, we know, had 10 names. What did they call him? What did the people, what did his mother call him? What did Bas Paro call him? So it says, she was an Egyptian. She was an Egyptian. Is Moshe an Egyptian word?
Maybe.
Maybe it is. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of Torah on this. Is it an Egyptian word or is it a Hebrew word? And if we were living in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you would say, where's Moshe? They were, who's Moshe? Who are you referring to? You mean, oh, Moses. Oh, Moses, now we know what you're referring to. Masha, I mean, there are a lot of different, there's a lot of ideas. I don't know. Let's go further. Okay, Hazina Pasuk Beis, Hazina Elokim Tifilasi Hashem, listen to my prayer. V'al Tis Alam Mitichinasi,
would we say this nusach in the tefillah, on the Yom HaRab, Yal Tis Alam and the Slichas, Tis Alam, do not be an Elaim, do not be a deaf mute, do not make believe that you do not hear, that your hearing is turned off. Do not ignore my supplication. Another pasuk, hakshiva li, hearken. Hakshiva is another word which means to listen. Okay, another word, va'aneni, answer me. Now here is a very beautiful expression. Orid b'sichi ve'ahima. Simply this means, the word orid is a hard word to translate, and there are different opinions. And according to the Targum, look at the Targum, it's always a good place to start the Targum. Orid v'kabel mini, okay, esra, v'kabel li esram, b'mili v'ergoish. So what is he saying? Except mini, hakshiva, no, let's go back, atzis l'memrim, which means to listen, v'kabel, am I reading the right passage? V'kabel mini esra'am, orid, accept from me my complaint. Interesting, he retired to what orid means to accept. Look at the Mitzvah Sion, we'll come to Rashi in a second, orid, inyin orid, ginicha vilala. It means to cry. It means to cry. Okay, orid, I cry to you, Hashem, b'sichi, with words. Like siach. Siach means vayetze Yitzchok lo suach basodeh. To speak, to communicate with Hashem. Prayer. Siach means to daven, to pray. Orid means I cry b'sichi as I pray to you. It's a poetic expression. I don't just daven. I daven to you with tears.
We have another word.
Mimamakim kirasicha. What does that? What do you mean?
I'm calling to you. I'm praying to you.
From the depths. From the depths of my heart. Orid. So you're saying the word mimamakim. You're saying an interesting idea. The word orid means of raid. Raid. Like cockroaches. Raid. Okay. Raid means to go down. Leich raid, descend. Descend. So you, Rebbe Meir, you're saying a chiddush. You're saying chiddush, Rebbe Meir, you're saying a chiddush, that orid b'sichi is equivalent to mimamakim kirasicha Hashem. From the depths. You want to say that it's related to that word raid. Interesting. I will descend to the depths of my heart and bring forth a prayer communication to you, Hashem. I like your idea very much. I didn't think of that. Over here, the Mefarshim say two other ideas. The Pshuta Shel Mikra means, Orid means, it's an expression of intense emotion, of tears. Maybe it means to bring down tears from your eyes. Raid is that tears descend from your eyes. Look at the Mitzvah Tzion. Inyan Gimicha Vilala. It means to cry, moaning and groaning. Besichi, with my supplication, Ve'ohima. The ohima means also to cry. I don't have such a good vocabulary here to go tell you all the nuances. However, Al Mefarshim says something very, very deep. They say, Arid means I will dominate. Lashnav to be a ruler. A ruler, we're going to see in Rashi. Okay, let's see first the Mitzudah Stavid on these three psukim. Mitzudah Stavid, Pasuk Aleph Beis Gimel, Pasuk begins on page 481, there's no Aleph Beis, V'al Tisalam, Al Talem Atzmecha Milishmoya Techinasi, do not hold back. Talem Atzmecha, do not, like an Elam, an Elam with an Aleph, really. Al Talem means do not, it means, still means to hold back from listening to my supplication, Pasuk Gimel, Odid, Kishani Miyalel Be'ez Sipor Hatila Ois, when I wail, at the time when I relate my complaint and my suffering, the hoime ani aleihem, and I moan over my problems, do not ignore me. Listen to me when I arid b'sichi v'ahima. It is an expression connoting an intense supplication. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk gimel arid b'sichi es oinein b'tzari. Okay, that's basically what it said in the Mitzvah Stavit. I will mourn, lament in my pain, lament, like a mourning, okay? Arid means over here, he's saying a little bit of, maybe a little bit of a different. Very hard word to translate, this word. I'm getting over here many different signals from the Rishonim as to what exactly this word means. Okay, Mitzudas really, he's Nachem, but he's saying it means more of a genicha, a moaning, groaning, and Rashi is saying mourning. There is a degree of avelos, aninos, es oinen aninos, like someone died. Es oinen David is David is like it's like his son died. This tzara of Avshalom was unique, that basically his son, he's mourning over his son. How much time did he invest in raising, being machanech his son? He sent him to yeshiva, paid tuition. He went and he did, you know, took him to great adventures. He invested enormous effort in his child. And now his son basically has crossed the red line, which means this kid's finished. He's done. So he lost a child. Okay, he lost a child. Es oinein bitzadi, kimoi zichor onyi umirudi. You see from association that the word mirudi is associated with the word onyi. Viradit al harim. It's also an expression which means there, I will mourn upon the mountains. Okay, umenachem posa. Rashi quotes his chaver, grammarian. He says, what does the meaning mean? Orid l'shoin memshala, dominion. And what does it mean? Kamo uridu, you will rule. Uridu v'digas hayam, you will rule over the fish. When Hashem created Adam, Hashem says Adam is going to be a king. Uridu v'digas hayam. V'sichi is l'shoin siach. It means to communicate. L'mi siach. So what is it saying? So it's a very deep idea. I will rule with my koyach hadibur, with my power of speech. I'll rule over it, which is saying I will.
His speech is subdued because he's in a depressed mood.
No, so he's saying he's not. He's saying, I think what he's saying over here is, according to, maybe I'm mistaken, is I am going to present an eloquent argument, an eloquent prayer. Arid, I will dominate with my communication. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We have the most eloquent, poetic piyutim that man has ever composed. All of the piyutim we said in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, from beginning to end, each one of them, it's a masterpiece. Each piyut, you can't v'yesoyu chol avdecha, that beautiful piyut. I mean, everything, every single part of the Nusach HaTfilah from beginning to end is a masterpiece. It represents man's dominance over his koyach hadibur in the most magnificent way. Hashem, we always come back to this a million times. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. Man was a living creature. This is the expression that defines the creation of man. And the Targum translates these words. Vayihi v'havel l'adam l'ruach memalala. The koyach of life is the power of communication, speech. And when a man excels in this koyach, in this talent, he has fulfilled uridu. He has reigned supreme. When he masters language, he masters the koyach hadibur. So here, and who is when, and what is the purpose of the koyach hadibur? The ultimate purpose of the koyach hadibur is to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this mizmor, David here is begging Hashem, I want to go speak to you. I want to complain to you. How could you do this to me? How can you go and allow such a thing that my own son come and rebel against me and try to kill me? And how could it be that Achitofel, my best friend, rebels and betrays me and joins my son in trying to take my life? I will moan and groan, but it will be through eloquence. I'm not just gonna come and just babble. I will rule, this is an expression, I will domineer with my ability my power of communication in expressing my pain to you. I'm going to come to you. Ain't a doyme when a person comes before an authority and talks with marbles in his mouth versus a person that comes before an authority and presents passionate plea of eloquence and language. Every so often, you know, Baruch Hashem, everyone over here, the very good people, they're not like me, they don't waste their time looking at WhatsApp, Telegram, but every once in a while I get a clip sometimes it's a politician, sometimes it's one of the constituents who comes before a court and they argue a point. And some of them, they argue with extreme eloquence. Now, there was recently, I mean, this is not on my team, but I have to give credit to where credit is due. There was a Democrat who argued, he said total nonsense, of course, total garbage nonsense, but it was extremely eloquent. We went through the entire alphabet. He argued, he cursed out the Republicans, and the way he cursed them out was he went through all of these expressions, the whole ABC. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
It's pretty good, no?
No.
Okay, I respectfully, listen, everything, I totally, we're all, you know, we're not gonna talk politics over here, make rules of politics, right?
That's
but. But okay, what he said was total garbage, right? But he said it really well. He really said it well. It was amazing. Amazing. If anyone wants it, let me know. I'll try to find it for you. He saved it. He went through the whole alphabet.
Who is it that did this?
I think it was Chuck, right?
Yeah.
Chuck Todd.
You saw that? Were you impressed?
Nope.
You weren't impressed. Okay, I was very impressed.
The only thing you could be impressed is that maybe he knows the alphabet.
He was passionate. Okay, okay. Different strokes, different folks. Ain't a doyme. It made the news. Okay, it did make the news. It made the news. When someone knows how to speak, present an argument with eloquence, wow. Ain't a doyme. When someone just gets up and puts on the table some documents, here, look at the facts. Here. These are the facts. Okay, it's also good. But when you have the ability to present something with eloquence and passion, It's impressive. And that's what I'm suggesting, what Menachem is trying to learn pshat in this pasuk. Orid b'sichi ve'ohima. I will present my complaint to the judge, here being the Ribbono Shel Olam, with the utmost eloquence and sophistication. I will domineer over my koyach hadibur, my siach, as I ve'ohima, I express my tsar, what is happening in front of me. And that there's something to be said about that. Okay, even let's talk about hespedim. Okay, this we can relate to. Rachman was when a person dies and they hespedim. So the whole essence of a hesped is ve'ohima, is to mourn, to moan and groan. But what ain't a doyma when someone gets up and just cries, it's also very powerful. Sometimes you go the best hesped is the person gets up, he can't even get one word out of his mouth. We've all heard such a spadim. Person gets up, he has a whole speech prepared, he can't get one word, he just begins to sob. And every time he sobs, people are shaking to the core. And that's all you need. What more is there to say? Right, that's it. What was more to say? But sometimes you have someone that gets up and he cries, but he has what to say. And he says it, and it's powerful. There's a koyach. That is called orid b'sichi. I dominate. I'm a master. I have demonstrated my mastery over the ability to express myself in my ve'ohima. That is what it says in Rashi. Let's go further. Let's try to go through more some sukkim. You call Oyei. Now, what is my cry? Then again, I'm warning you, this is a very hard mizmah. This is not your typical mizmah. This mizmah is it's long and it's very sophisticated. It's really each pasuk you have to really horva to understand what's going on. Mikol Oyev, I'm crying to you, Hashem, because of the sound of the enemy. Mibne, because okas rosha. What's okas? That's an unusual word. Okas means a tzora. It means it's a synonym for the word a difficulty, a problem, because of the okas rosha, the tsara, the trouble that the wicked person is bringing upon this world. Ki yomitu olai oven. Yomitu is another hard word. Is another hard word here, which it's translating. They're tilting. Okay, motim look at the mitzudos davra on the next page 483. Ki yomitu hema motim olai oven ritzayna loymar amol v'yegia. The oven, he's going on the word oven, but yomitu means they are toppling. They're trying to crash down upon me. I'm walking in the street and they're pushing upon me a wall of bricks. They're toppling yomitu olai. They are toppling upon me, they're crashing down upon me, they're tilting upon me to crash on me. Oven, oven here does not mean sin, but it means trouble. They're trying to get me into a lot of trouble. Uve'af, and with fury, yistimuni. Yistimuni is another hard word, which means hate. Eva, enmity. Just means with lu yistimeni. If only they will hate me, intense hate with fury yistimuni. They are expressing their hate for me. Let's read more time. The pasuk we are saying over here is very pasuk. Dalet over here saying pasuk dalet is going back on pasuk gimel. I'm now going listen to me and answer me va'aneni. I will now express myself with moaning and groaning. See the Menachem. What Menachem said, I will domineer with excellence and eloquence in my expression, appears to be very fitting for this mizmor, because every single pasuk over here is very eloquent. This is not your simple, you know, mizmor where you can, kid in third grade, can just go and rattle it off and translate the words for you. Every pasuk over here is an expression, it is a metaphor, and requires great depth to understand exactly, just to break your teeth. What did you just say? What? What does that word mean? What does that word mean? How do they go together? It's a metaphor. You look at the Mefarshim, and this one says that. These are very deep expressions, which is exactly what it said in Pasuk Gimel. He's warning us. In Pasuk Gimel, David HaMelech is warning us, I am going to present here a very sophisticated, eloquent prayer that you've never heard before. So you better fasten your seatbelts and get ready for an experience of language. An experience, because right away, the very first pasuk, right off the bat, very first pasuk is telling you something which is almost impossible to understand. Let's look at the Mefarshim to try and decipher what these words mean and how they all come together to bring out a point.
How did you translate the Yohima? How did you translate that?
Moan and groan.
The Yohima?
Yeah. To moan.
No, but we're talking about the Menachem that says that it's
I will express a speech which in the essence of the speech is painful, which is a painful expression, the Yohima. My entire speech will be filled with expression of pain, which is called Vyohima, but there are going to be words. There will be words that will accompany my expression of tsar. So, Arid B'Sichi, I'm going with Menachem for now. I will be a master over my words, and the words. I will present you a sophisticated speech. I'll give you a sophisticated supplication that relates to my pain, the ohima. As I express my tsar, it will be expressed with the talent of me using sophisticated words and expressions, metaphors, to bring out exactly what is bothering me deep down inside of my neshama. And my first pasuk is why what's my problem? My problem is the kol oyev. My enemy is calling out. They're calling out to other people. They're recruiting terrorists to cause me tsar. They're screaming at me. They're harassing me. The sound in the gas. You go out, turn on the radio. David is villain number one. I walk in the street. We're most wanted. He's the number one on the FBI's most wanted list. You walk in the street, they see Dolly, you see a big picture, wanted. You listen on the radio, where is David? He walks in disguise into shul. He's wearing a mask. And he hears, oh, did anyone see David? You know how much... Wherever you go, the coil, the sound in the street is to get this man. Mikol Oyev, Mibnei Okas Rasha. The wicked person, the Oyev is Avshalom, is the Oyev. Avshalom and Achitofel, those two together. Avshalom and Achitofel gave him, who's his advisor. Mibnei Okas Rasha, the Tzora of the Rasha. The Rasha is Avshalom and Achitofel. Ki yomitu olai oven. They are trying to collapse upon me, to topple upon me. Do you see these horrific videos in Turkey? Rachmana litzlan, wake up call. Over 4,000, probably a lot more than that.
Over 5,000.
Every day keeps on going up. Every second it goes up and up. How many buildings collapse?
6,000.
How many?
6,000
buildings collapse. It's a pachat pechad. Everything which happens in this world, everything that happens in this world, Chazal say, is for Klal Yisrael. And it's a musar. It is awake. Hashem is waking us up. Chazor bach, do teshuva. I remember that when they had the tsunami, Indonesia. I never even heard that word before. Tsunami. First time I ever heard that word. The tsunami in Indonesia. I remember Rabbi Belsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was very disturbed, very very disturbed. It bothered him to no end. Such a thing, how many people died in that? 100,000 people?
Quarter of a million.
Wow. Disappeared off the face of the earth like that. And he bothered him to no end. That you know what, you just turn the page, you don't pay attention. 250,000 people, gone like that. Whatever Hashem is doing in this world, it's only for Klal Yisrael. It's a warning sign to wake up. In the lifetime of the Chafetz Chaim, there was an earthquake. How many people died in that earthquake? Also, an enormous... enormous buildings collapse, similar to what happened in Turkey. And Chavetz Chaim also was disturbed to no end.
And that was in China.
That was in China, okay. But it doesn't matter, this is in Turkey, in Indonesia. When there's a natural disaster, it is a time. See, if we had very strong leadership, I would imagine, if we had in Klal Yisrael, there would be a Yom Tzon. I really believe that. I really believe that if we had strong leadership, it would be like, you know, they have every once in a while, they have about, when is it, like terrorists, Rachmanos on Eretz Yisrael, a half a day, a Bahab, a Tainus, half a day. And I remember you used to have this years back. You used to have, when they were Rachmanos, there were terrorist attacks. So there was a big thing. This Monday, you have to fast a half a day. There's no breakfast in yeshiva, and the Rashivas have demanded that every single bach in yeshiva, we're going to fast Mekabel Tainus, Chatzioim, Tainus Shos, by Mincha the day before, and we're going to have in yeshiva Slichos, and we're going to have even the by Mincha, there was a big Mincha, and after Mincha, then there was lunch. You can't ignore what has happened. They did this when Rachman Tzim, there were terrorist attacks in Eretz Yisrael, suicide bombers, so this is no different. There's no question, there's definitely precedent that if something like this happens, lo yu'uman, you see the videos, buildings, mamish, coming down on people right in front of your eyes. It looks like 9/11. Mamish 9/11. They show these big buildings. Okay, they're not 100 stories. Mamish, one after another. Unbelievable. No, it's not a time. It's not a time. Klal Yisrael, we shouldn't wake up. Chazal said, whatever happens in this world is for us.
And they felt the shaking in Eretz Yisrael. You know?
Eretz Yisrael was shaking, really. It's not so far away in Turkey. So this is... this also, they show one video I saw very frightening is before, leading up, before it happened, before when it was still quiet, the birds. They show these videos. The birds went crazy. The birds went berserk. Before anything happened. Everything was quiet and still. All of a sudden, the birds went berserk. And then, like a minute or two later, then you felt it. The birds obviously have a sensation that we don't have. They already sense it happening. So this is not a pasha thing. And over here, how do we get into this? Ki yomitu. Yomitu means like a building is about to collapse on you. The building is, it's collapsing. Yomitu olai oven. They are trying to collapse upon me. Oven. Oven means trouble. They are doing everything in their power to make my life miserable. And with fury, yistamuni, they hate me. They bring upon me hatred. Let's read the Mitzvah stuff on this one. Pasuk Dalid. Mikol, but they call Shagas Ayah because of the sound of the roar of the enemy. Umeyatsam on page 481 in the Mitzvah. Umeyatsara Shaharasha Mevilai, that Tsara that the wicked brings upon me. He calls the word Okas, the Tsara. Next words of the Mitzvah is on page 483. And the bottom, ki yomitu heima, they, my enemies, motim, olai, they are tilting upon me. It's really hard. I don't really have a good translation. They're causing it to topple. So we said topple. Look at the Ibn Ezra on the top. Yomitu mi gizras, it's from the root, umoto yodoyimach, to reach. To reach, to make contact. And in this context, he uses the word v'hu meha binyon ha-koveg. He's saying it's a strong word. They want trouble to make contact with me. They are desperately trying that. They are creating problems, and they want those problems that they create to reach me and overcome me. I think let's refine our translation. Ki yomitu olai oven, they are attempting that trouble overtake me, make contact with me, reach me, overtake me. Look at the Radak. Radak, he translates ki yomitu olai oven, uperush yatu olai, sheker, shehem mordimbi, they are rebelling against me, umeshakrim be'emunasam, they are betraying me, their faith. These people were my friends, and now they've betrayed me. Shehim lichuni aleichem, they anointed me originally. When they anointed me as the king, they celebrated with me. Achitofel, he was dancing before me on the day of my coronation, my hachtara. V'ata now yistamuni ba'af uvechema, he hates me with fury. V'kimu b'ni olai, he even advises my own child to rebel against me and do these terrible things. So basically, everyone over here is trying to struggle. If you look very carefully, everyone here is struggling to precisely translate the word, this word of ki yomitu, and that is why Menachem has won the day when he says that David's going to show you all up. I'm going to use words and vocabulary that you guys won't even be able to figure out. I'm going to overwhelm you with my eloquence. You'll need a dictionary. You ever go to a shul where the rabbi gives a drush and the Baal Bat must sing with a dictionary? Someone once told me that he goes to a certain rabbi, many years ago, he goes to a certain rabbi, he was then in high school studying for the SAT. So he says he goes to this rabbi every Shabbos to hear the drasha because it helps him for the SAT. The rabbi is very eloquent, he has phenomenal vocabulary, and he knows how to use the words correctly. And it's am I listening to the rabbi? He sees that he.
But sometimes
it's,
they mispronounce
and they show off. Like me. I don't know what I'm talking about.
They've only seen them in books.
Right, exactly. You have to know the word usage. You have to use the right word. It's not a kunst to use a fancy. You have to know how to use the right word at the right time. And obviously, there's a lot to be said about that, not to make believe what you don't know. Okay. In any event, this is a very hard pasuk. So this now let's see, what does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Okas l'shoin motzoik." Motzoik means to oppress. Mm-hmm. Oppress. The Mitzudas didn't really say that. The Mitzudas says, "What okas utargum shel tzara." Okay, that's not the same. To oppress means you squeeze. A tsara means I got a problem.
I thought the other one meant like to impose. To impose a.
Yeah, it's active. It's an active. It's an active verb. You're actually engaging in torturing someone. Waterboarding. Okay, you're actually engaging in torture, and the Mitzvah Tzi doesn't say that. He just says tsara. This is for trouble. There are a lot of problems in this world. Just because there's a tsara doesn't mean someone's torturing you. It's a different. These every you look at the mafarshim, the nuances of every one of the mafarshim is a little bit different. Okay, let's go to another pasuk. No. We didn't finish Rashi yet. Rashi ki yomitu olai oven doyeg vachi toifel. Now here Rashi he's adding another person and he's adding over here another. He's mixing up two stories, and this is problematic. This is a very revealing insight into Rashi's interpretation of this mizmar, and for that matter other mizmarim. Rashi looks at this mizmar, he just gave away a Freudian slip, as I'm not looking at this mizmar focusing specifically on one particular event. David here is giving you an overall overview of all of the tsaros in his life. And he's discussing obviously a category of betrayal. We have Shaul, and we have Avshalom. And he says, I have enemies that try to harm me, who? Doyeg v'achi toifel. These are two completely different worlds. Doyeg and achi toifel have nothing to do with each other. Doyeg was David's tzara when he dealt with Shaul, and many years later, Doyeg was out of the picture, and achi toifel was not part of the problem with Shaul. That was not part. He was not involved. Totally not mentioned. He's not involved. They're dealing with two different stories in his life. In his early years, he dealt with Shaul, and in his later years, he dealt with Avshalom. Hayilchud v'hayilchud, two passing ships in the evening.
Okay, but obviously they had in common.
In common, right?
The betrayal.
Betrayal.
That we spoke about.
Absolutely.
Today,
but
supposed allies.
Absolutely. But when you start doing that, you're then looking at every single pasuk in more general, abstract terms. But according to the Mitzvahs, most of the other Mefarshim, they're zooming in on a very specific event. And it's a world of a difference when you localize the subject versus discussing general concepts. When you focus in on something very, very specific, and you look at the words and you study that story, you begin to find parallels and you begin to see insights into that particular story. When you want to go look at a general overview of all of David's enemies who betrayed him, then it takes on a different interpretation. Yeah, Mayor, what do you want to say?
He's talking about his son. It makes sense that if he can blame Achitofel, he won't blame Avshalom. But the father will try to always push it off. And it's Loshin Yochid. It says, Mikol Oyev.
The collective noun. It's not a kasha.
Russia. And what he's saying, they're threatening a lie with my sins. You don't get punished.
No. So that's what the Mitzvah David said. The word oven does not mean a sin. That's what the Mepharsh said. That's not only over here. It means oven means, it means, it means trouble. Trouble.
But trouble is always in the eye of the beholder.
It means...
They're overwhelming me what I see as trouble.
Okay, so if you want to go say we're dealing with... I think what you want to say is you want to say the word oven means sin. And you want to say, David, you sinned. What did you sin? You took an Eish Es Yifas
Toya. Whatever it was.
You did an Avera. And your sin, this
is the cause of
all your problems. Enochanami, when you want to go focus, see, that would be the Nafka meaning, you bring out exactly the point. If you want to go limit this to a very specific incident in Sefer Shmuel, then, what was the sin? Was there a sin? Oh, David, you'll say, oh, David, you know, David was, Chazal warned you, don't take an Eshef Astoyar. Ledibre Torah Elo Kineged Yetzahar. So that means, the Torah says, you want to do it? I'll let you do it, but you should know, you're going to get it. Oh, ki yomitu alai oven, lo dibre Torah el keneged yetzahara, David, you're getting what you deserve. You took the Eish Yifas Toyar, you had an Avshalom, he's now going to kill you. Good, let's make it happen. Let us assist the Yetzirah. Okay, let's the people over here, Achi Toifel, David, you anyway deserve it. The Yetzirah wants to get you, the Satan wants to get you. We'll make it easy for the Satan to get you. Okay, Mary once showed me the book. We always come back to this book. I told you the same story, Howard Bloom, about the United States, desperately, the Mossad, they desperately wanted to know what was going on in a little mountain in Saudi Arabia. And they tapped the phones, and they heard the two Mishugoyim, Mamish nutcases, by dictionary definition of a Mishugna. They wanted to go to this mountain, to explore this mountain. So they saw the CIA and the Mossad said, wonderful, let's help them. So after they go there, we can interrogate them and we can see what they saw. We can't go, because if we'll go to the right away, they'll shoot us down. But these two Mishugoyim want to go explore. What is their chance of getting to go there? Zero. But you know what? We can make it happen. When they'll apply for a visa, we can work it out that they can get the visa. When they need to get on the plane, we can work things out for them. They have no clue. They'll have no clue that it's us behind the scenes helping them get to where they want to go, and we're only doing this for our own objective. Same thing over here. The Satan, Alei Oven, is out to get David. You know why? Because David did an Avera. But you know, the Satan, what are the chances of the Satan succeeding? Very little. There's a lot of opposition. But you know what? We'll help the Satan. We're going to help the Satan. We'll make it easy for the Satan to succeed. It's a very sophisticated technique in trying to bring upon a person punishment. There's some truth to this in Hashkafa. A person did an Aveira. So Hashem, the Satan, is out to get the person. But the person has a defense mechanism. He does teshuva, he does this, does that. Is it complete? No, it's not. Can a person on his own bring harm upon another person? Not really. But because the person anyway is deserving of punishment, you know what we can do? We can make it easy for the Satan to do what it wants to do to this person, because the person really deserves it. We can weaken his defenses. That's where a person has the ability to interfere. And to some degree, that's what it's saying over here in this expression. Ki yomitu olai oven. They want my oven, my sin, to reach me. If the sin will reach me, they will be able to wipe their hands, my enemy, and say, we didn't do anything. David deserved it. Look at the records. David did an Avera. He deserved to be punished. We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything. We can't. Hashem only punishes people that deserve to be punished. So why then were you making trouble? We made it easy for the Satan. We made it easy. We alone couldn't do anything. The Satan was trying. So we just made it easy for him. We're only a grama, not even a grama. And therefore, at the end of the day, we'll wipe our hands clean and it's not our problem. Okay, let's finish with the Rashi. Doig v'achi teufel machriim olai avoinois. So look, we have a new translation for the word yomitu. It's like matin alein esadin, to tilt. Think of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you have the scales, right? You have the scales on the Aron HaKodesh. You have the scales, and what are the scales? They're equal. So what do? You put on one side some weights. Which side do you put it on? This is the schus or the choiva. You put some weights on one side, and it causes it to tilt, to be mater litzad zuchus or chasishom litzad choiva. So that's how Rashi learns. Rashi, the Ibn Ezra says, to reach. The Mitzudot David's to extend. They try that evil should overtake me. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says David over here is nishtahi nishtaher. He's like on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The scales are even, And my enemies, they're putting onto the scales another weight in order for it to tilt downward. Matin, Rashi, Doi Rachi Teufel, Machri'im, Olai Avoinois, they are being Machri'a, they're adding weight to the side of the sins. Shani ben Moves, Umatirim es Domi, and they're being Matir, my blood. They're loosening the forces of evil upon me that I should die and my blood should spill to the ground. I should be finished. Okay, all these different translations of this word. All right, it's very late, so we're going to have to stop over here. Mishum, tomorrow we'll pick up with Pasuk Hey.
Today's Yartzer of the Marsham, Shalom Arshay, Shuadlam.